This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, this is nice because it's Friday. And we love Fridays. It has the morning roast involved. It has a stuff you missed, which seems to hit differently. And it has everyone's favorite plays of the week. But what's different about this Friday is we've kicked DiPietro to the curb. And we brought in friend of the show, the great Dan Grosser. Good morning, Dan Grosser.
The FOS, friend of the show. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you again. I missed you. I missed everybody. How the hell are you?
I'm well. You know, we're running our way through April, and now, starting tomorrow, it gets serious.
And you know, it was a nice little surprise, too. I woke up this morning, and I was blessed. So
well,
it's good in its own right
that you woke up. That's
well,
nice.
That we woke up. Sure. Blessed that you woke up, right? Praise the Lord. But we were blessed finally, because I was screaming about it on the air yesterday, that the NHL finally got around to give us a first-round playoff schedule in completion, which was nice.
Oh, you know what? I actually only know the Rangers and Islanders, their game one. I don't even know more than that. You have the full series.
Oh, we got the full gamut. RJ and I were talking about it. I pulled that sucker up. Go to NHL.com there, buddy.
Now, is there any, and you may not be able to answer this right off the bat, but and I'm hopeful there's not, is there any Knicks and Rangers overlap?
I know off the top of my head there is Islanders-Knicks overlap on Thursday.
And the draft,
correct.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look this up now. This is exciting.
Very.
So Rangers open, as we know, 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Correct.
A game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. Then, Islanders play Monday, which is nice. Rangers play Tuesday at the Garden, 7 o'clock puck drop, which is nice.
Right.
The earlier, the better.
Wednesday is nothing for all three.
So the night before the draft, we have a beautiful day off to collect ourselves.
Right.
Friday.
You get a full, uninterrupted Dan Grosser show.
Oh, which is, I mean, sensational. Friday, Rangers at the Capitals. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. That's actually a TNT game.
Mm.
And there's a full four-pack of NHL games that day. Saturday, April the 27th, Islanders with a matinee, 2 o'clock at UBS.
Ubis.
Sunday, April 28th. Oh, God. Rangers at Caps.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock puck drop. Oh, God, that's awful.
I mean, has four overtimes written all over it, does it not?
Oh, please, no. And then they would go from Sunday to Wednesday, May 1 would be game 5. This series could go forever.
Wow. The NHL is pulling an NBA. They are stretching these babies out, are they not?
So May 1 for the Rangers, May 3rd for the Rangers, and hopefully it doesn't, but if it goes the distance, May 5th for the Rangers, which leads me to a tad bit of concern right now.
What's that, Bob?
RJ? RJ!
Oh. This is early today.
Oh, yeah, but it's necessary.
Yeah, well, so May 5th, Dan,
that's the pickleball.
Yeah.
There's a pickleball match. I mean, the match is going down regardless.
I don't know about that.
Well,
it's the pickleball match, first of all.
I think it'd be viewed as a forfeit for you if you didn't show up.
Yeah, but okay. Herein lies the issue.
Is there something I should know about? Is everything okay here?
Well, everything is fine.
Okay.
If the Rangers play at 12:30, I can't be middling around with pickleball.
Let me ask you a question. You're a smart guy, right?
Yeah.
You followed sports for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of it is going to be
contingent
upon.
Don't you dare talk to me about taping this game.
No.
Okay.
A lot of this is going to be contingent upon the other series, of course. But do you really think if that's going to be a game seven, a deciding game between a New York hockey club, that they would play that game at 12:30 in the afternoon?
I would not think so. I would not. But you could not see ABC taking this baby at 1 o'clock?
No. No, because they would start the second round or something, or there would be an. And remember, they could put an NBA game on at 1 o'clock or something.
Great. And I'm not saying it'll happen, but I have to be aware that I know this is a possibility. I have to be.
I wouldn't lose sleep over it. Okay. Seriously, I wouldn't.
Well, I'm not overly concerned that this is going to go seven. And on top of that, I'm not overly concerned that if it goes seven, that they do play at 1 o'clock, but I need to be prepared. And in preparation, if they play somehow game seven, 1 o'clock at the Garden, RJ, you'll have to fill in for me on pickleball.
I don't know if that's what you want.
That's exactly what I want.
All right. Well, here, your solution, motivate the Rangers to take care of this in less than seven. Which...
Well, I think Raymond has a closer kind of situation to the Rangers than I. He produces the games.
I mean, if this series goes seven, you have problems on a lot of fronts because there's no business going seven. So,
when is potentially game seven for the Knicks?
Game seven would be Saturday, May 4th.
The day before. Okay.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you. So this is going to go forever.
Yeah, that's what the NBA does, not the NHL. I'm shocked by this.
I mean, mate, we're talking about the Rangers series going 2 full weeks.
Correct. Well, think about it. Remember how, like, with the NBA, like, the NBA is going to go even later this year because, you know, the NBA, like, game seven of the finals was always, like, Father's Day. Now I think game seven is the following week. I think it's
23rd. June 20, well, I guess it depends, right? But this year would be like the 21st, 22nd, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. It's crazy.
Mean, it's bringing you almost to July 4th.
That's right. Joey Chestnut is basically eating hot dogs the day after they give out the Larry
You know where
Bryan
you can get a great hot dog?
What's that?
Stop. You can say it.
Say it. I've told this story on the air a thousand times.
Well, you know what? I'd feel more comfortable if you then told the story.
I'll tell the story. It's very simple. Look, everybody's got their favorites, right? And this is genuine. This is sincere. The best hot dog, all things being equal, situation, the way I was feeling, time of day, whatever. Best hot dog I ever had in my life was at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii.
So it's great. So you're walking to a mass casualty, and you think to yourself, my stomach's a little empty. I would love a hot dog.
My stomach was empty, number one. Number two, they have a full snack bar area with an awning and coverage and everything, picnic tables. So it's not like I was the only one. They encourage people, after they pay their respects and they witness the historical aspect of this, to sit down and maybe refuel a little bit and also contribute to their fund, try to upkeep the site and add whatever type of remembrances and things like that.
Okay. All right.
But it was a great hot dog.
I'm sure it was. How about this? You know what's a great hotel? Do you know what's a great hotel? La Quinta. If you stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every single location. So you can eat your hot dogs and you can work it right off. Now you can wake up and power your day with a solid workout or de-stress in the afternoon with some cardio. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. So, Dan, my friend, this is a long time coming, where the Knicks and the Rangers were in this position. In fact, do you know the last time the Knicks and Rangers were the top overall seed, President's Trophy winner, and the 2 seed heading into the postseason?
Got to be the early 90s, right?
1994.
That's right.
And what else was relevant in May, June of 1994?
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson just passed away recently.
Breaking news
right after our show, of course, because that's when all news breaks, by the way, if you haven't caught on to that. The biggest news in all of sports breaks at 10:05 on a weekday.
So that means today we're going to find, since Joe Douglas is doing his presser at 10 o'clock, we're going to find out at 10:05.
Yeah, he's going to say, we'll get into the Joe Shane presser from yesterday as well. Yeah, I imagine Joe Douglas says something like, we intend to trade the 10th overall pick. He's going to say it like 10:04 this morning.
Aaron Rodgers has been traded to so-and-so,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, there'll be something.
Or he's retiring.
But, I mean, it's been since 1994, and here we are. And I got to tell you, Now, you're a Devils fan, right? So you don't have the same feel as far as the Rangers are concerned. But I think you wonder, you grasp the magnitude of this. Think about what this spring could actually mean for us.
No, it's great. And like I said, you push the fandom aside, work comes over fandom, and
no,
it's going to be great
no,
for us.
No,
yeah,
no,
it no, it does.
No,
it does.
No,
absolutely. For
no.
me, it does. Okay, we've been okay. over this. For me,
so
it does.
So speak for yourself.
No, right.
And I mean, like, speak for yourself. If you feel like that, that's up to you. But I would never feel like that.
That's unfortunate.
Well, no, I'm just committed as a fan, like ultimately committed as a fan.
But don't you think, in this example, it makes all of our jobs a heck of a lot easier, the fact that we have two teams that both, by the way, play on our air, and they have a chance to go really deep into the spring, and it's only going to better the situation for ourselves and what we do on a daily basis.
I think it's phenomenal. But I think selfishly, and I'll be honest with you, I think it's more phenomenal because it's my teams. Like, if I were a Devils fan, I wouldn't have the same excitement, enjoyment if the Rangers were making that run. I'm uber excited because it's my teams.
A little bit different when you bring up the Devils specifically because they barely had a pulse this year. So when you compare it to what's happening with the winter sports teams to play at the Garden, it's easy to separate the two. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I just listen. We agree to disagree. If this was not my teams involved, we wouldn't have the same excitement. But most people, and I think this is fair to say, most people are Knicks and Rangers fans, right? And if you include baseball, that's more split. If you include football, that's more split. The ones that are most one-sided in this city, Knicks, I think, is probably like 95-5, and Rangers overall is probably like, I don't know, 75, 15, 10, something like that. Like, the bulk of the fans in this city are Knicks and Rangers. You agree with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, sure. I don't know how you could dispute it. As a matter of fact, I was talking about it yesterday because somebody had called up and suggested the idea with both of these teams in the playoffs, high seeds, you know, expected to do some damage here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's say it happens. If one of the two were to win a championship, which one would create more buzz in the city? And I think the answer is the Knicks.
I don't even think it's not even a debate.
Not to say that the Rangers wouldn't be pandemonium,
no,
which Rangers, we experienced in 94.
And the Rangers in 94 was, I mean, I actually felt like it kind of overtook the city. And it was one of the great sports runs that I've ever seen in my life. But if you said which one would be bigger, I don't even think that's like an open up the phone lines. I think it's clearly the Knicks.
I would agree. I mean, you think about the time since as well, right? You're talking about 50 years.
I mean,
plus.
The Knicks haven't won in your lifetime.
Right. Exactly.
And you remember the Rangers winning in 94.
Very well. Absolutely. Yeah. And I remember that Knicks, you know, think about it. Think about how close you came, right? Because the Rangers won in 94. Knicks were just a game away from doing the same exact thing. And that literally took over this town for how many weeks, how many months during that playoff run?
I mean, I don't remember the exact day, but probably early April, right?
Yeah.
Similar to where we are now, all the way through mid-June. But the thing that was so special, and I'm sure you remember this, is like it was Knicks on Monday, Rangers on Tuesday, you know, Knicks on Wednesday, Rangers on Thursday, like every single day. And then you'd get a day or two to kind of maybe like gather yourself because I remember the Rangers swept the Islanders in round one and had a quick, easy series in round two. And it was magnificent. And I'm thinking that if you're not at least 35, no, what is this? That's 30, probably 40 years old, right? You don't even know what that's like. Like
do you
I mentioned that,
that was 30 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, 30 years ago.
No, but do you believe that that was
no.
30 years
no,
ago?
No, but that's how quickly life moves, right? Like, and that's why I always say you have to appreciate the moment because you never know when you're going to get that moment again.
I mean, like 30 years ago, I mean, people were still trying to come to grips with and the band played on. You know what I mean?
And that's then, a good movie. That's that a 93 movie about the outbreak of the HIV virus.
Absolutely.
Matthew and Modine starred in that movie.
A lot of Swoozy Kurtz vehicle.
Yeah, I'm surprised you wouldn't go right to Swoozy Kurtz because Alan Alda was also in that movie. But I digress. You're right. It's
Phil Collins made a cameo in that movie.
Yeah, he was the bathhouse owner. It's amazing that you remember that.
It's crazy.
30 years ago. So if you're not so Ray just turned 40. Ray, do you remember the whole run vividly of 94, or were you too young for that?
Not the whole run, but I will tell you that run is basically what caught my attention with hockey and what hooked me. So I knew the NHL existed. I knew the Rangers existed, but I really hadn't paid attention to it to that point. By the time they were playing the Devils in the Eastern Conference Final, I was hooked. I was all in. But that's really like the first thing I vividly remember.
So that was your entree. And Knicks, you were all in from the jump?
From the jump.
From the jump.
Everyone was a Bulls fan, not me.
Oh, God, I hate it. I still do. Dan, I don't understand this adoration of, I mean, I guess I do because he was so great, but like loving Michael Jordan as a Knicks fan feels so diametrically opposed to what you should do.
Well, it wasn't Knicks fans because I went through the same exact thing. Now, most people in my, you know, community, school, whatever, were Knicks fans. But then you still always had the bandwagon folks who liked the Bulls because of Jordan and all that other stuff. I don't think there were many Laker fans at the time because their dynasty with Riley and them had kind of waned already. But yeah, it was Knicks, Bulls, and there was maybe like one or two Nets people.
Yeah, it was a lot of bandwagon-y Bulls fans.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Raymond, in his own demented genius, pops demented? Back. Well, because you're like an evil genius, pops back with this. It's so good. You're so good.
Don't worry, I have your Bruce in the queue.
Yeah, yesterday.
He's paying attention.
You should have seen what he did yesterday.
What did he do?
He gave us a piece of Bruce Springsteen,
mm-hmm.
like not what we were before we came back on air,
yeah.
as if he was going to play it, and then he played some country twang garbage instead.
Well, was it a Bruce Springsteen country song, like one
no.
of his like country theme things?
No. I think it was, what was it? It was a great Bruce Springsteen song.
Well, first of all, the song that I ended up picking, mm-hmm. there was a reason behind it.
Yeah, but it was like I met my wife, at an AA meeting kind of thing. It was ridiculous.
I don't think that's what it said.
It was something like that.
That was a B-side, the one about the AA interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. What song was it?
What I don't know. What song was it?
It may have been Thunder Road for Bruce.
No. Okay. Bruce was Thunder Road definitively. And I heard it. I was like, oh, he's going to play Thunder Road. This is awesome. And then he came back with this, you know, mom used to get into big fights with dad. And it was terrible.
Big Toes, Cold Beer, like one of those songs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I had Open the Gate for Rick. I had that one.
Did you hear about what happened to Rick yesterday?
No, what happened?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Late for the show because his gate wouldn't open.
Oh, his palatial security gate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have the guard like physically open the thing.
There is no guard. That's what we learned.
Oh,
there's no guard. So he had to go wake up his wife to open the gate.
So this was like an electrical current issue or something like that.
Well, I don't know, but she was able to jimmy it so that she could open it, and then he was able to get to work.
I'll tell you, he must have a loving wife, because the last thing I would want to do with that hour of the morning is to wake up to, as you said,
imagine if you
jimmy
woke up your
gate.
Wife, you're like, hey, sweetheart, what is it? Get in your car, drive. And this is what we learned as well. He has to drive. You can't walk from the house to the front gate. You have to drive that distance.
I'm sure.
I mean,
you work
sure.
up a sweat, probably.
Yeah. So can you imagine being awakened at 4 o'clock in the morning? You have to get in the car and drive to the front gate and open it for me because I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think I would do it.
These are real champagne problems, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I would say, no, I'm sleeping. I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the Knicks a little bit. Now, I said this yesterday. We'll hear from the head coach and all the particulars in just a moment. I said this yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I stand by it, and that is I think the Knicks are better, like considerably better than Philadelphia right now, the way I saw Joel Embiid the other night.
He's not 100%. He's not even close. And look.
Exactly that.
Let's face it, David. That is the X factor in this series. To what level do you get Joel Embiid? Because if you're going to get a guy who's hobbling up and down the floor, who the more and more minutes he plays and the games that he plays, it's just actually going to take more of a toll on his body and that knee, then yeah, the Knicks are in good shape. Because despite what we saw the other night from Nick Batum coming off the bench and pulling three-pointers out of his you-know-what. You're not going to see that again. He's not Big Shot Bob. That's not going to happen in the playoffs. So, right, Embiid is the guy that is going to make or break this series, more so than even Brunson, because Embiid is, if he is a diminished Embiid,
yep.
I don't sweat this at all from the Knicks standpoint.
All right, so then you and I, and this is great because we haven't discussed this, but you and I are in the same exact ballpark, because I said yesterday, if Embiid was healthy, I'd be terrified of this series. I watched him the other night. I thought he looked like a shell of himself. He was slumped over. I don't know what he was slumped over because he was physically exhausted because he's just not in great shape or he's still in that level of pain. But you know what? If you feel like that one game against Miami, good luck with a long series against what the physicality the Knicks are going to bring to the table.
1,000%. I agree with you. And you know, since he's been back from the injury, he's played about, because I was talking about this yesterday, he's played about in the 30-minute range. I think that's what he's averaged in all those games. So now you're in the playoffs, and they're going to expect him to go out there and play in the neighborhood of between, you know, 35 to 40 minutes a night. I don't know if his body's going to be able to withstand that.
Yeah,
I don't
think so. And now, if you told me I was going to get MVP-level Embiid, but here's what I see. I see Embiid being slowed, certainly, and I see the Knicks also have a lot of fouls and a lot of big bodies they can throw at him, and Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, and then I see their second most concerning guy is Maxey, and I see OG lining up and taking him out of the series, more or less. So I said it yesterday, and I think there are a lot of people that were bothered by this. I think the Knicks are going to really have their way with Philadelphia in this series.
The thing about it, though, Maxey's quick, okay? So OG loses a step maybe trying to stop him. You might even see DiVincenzo trying to slow him down to a certain extent just because he's a little bit quicker on his feet. But no, you're right. I think that when you look at this team, it's obviously one Embiid. Maxey's good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Maxey's good.
Oh, he's an excellent player.
He is a proven all-star player. That being said, though, I certainly think that the Knicks have enough here to where I would be surprised if this thing goes more than six games.
And I feel the exact same way. And I said it yesterday, and they pushed me. They pushed me to the brink, and they said, how long do you think? I said five. I think.
Now, how did you feel before they even played the game the other night against Miami? Because there were the whole, remember, for a couple of days, we were like, okay, who would you rather play, Miami or Philadelphia?
Of course.
I said Miami.
I wanted Philadelphia in its own right. I didn't want any part of Miami. Now, when Jimmy Butler went down, my first thought was, oh, my God. Could Butler be injured to the point where he can't play and I get Miami? That, to me, would have been amazing. And that, in fact, is what it is outside of you're not playing them. So they play tonight, but you have no chance of playing them. I was rooting for Philly, and the more I watched the game and Philly came back and won the game, the more confident I was because, again, that, to me, is not Philadelphia. That, to me, is not Joel Embiid. He is nowhere near healthy. And if he's nowhere near healthy, I don't worry at all about Philly. And listen, this could completely blow up in my face. I understand that. But watching him the way I saw him the other night gave me absolutely zero reason for concern. I think the Knicks are better. They have home court. I think they're deeper. I think the Knicks win the series.
No, I think they win it too. I still would have, believe it or not, preferred Miami. And I understand
why?
All the horrors in the playoffs. Why? Well, because you saw why, the way that game unfolded. Because that was Miami all season long. The bench that killed the Knicks in the playoffs last year, that bench is not as good this year. That team, their efficiency offensively in the fourth quarter this year has been as bad as anybody in the NBA. I would take my chances against that. And that's why I know that the Knicks don't have to worry about seeing them anymore unless something freakish happens like two rounds from now. But I am just praying, I think, collectively with all basketball fans in this city that tonight, please, 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 in the name of the great Michael Jordan, the Bulls just put the Heat out of their misery and we don't even have to think about them the rest of these playoffs.
Yeah, I don't care. I have they're irrelevant to me now.
No, get them out. Get them out. Just get them out.
Which is fine. I don't care. It has no impact on me one way or the other. Tom Thibodeau, the great Knicks head coach, and I've heard already people starting the excuses. I mean, if they're worn down in this postseason, they're not going to be worn down. They're going to be fine. Here he is on matching up with the Philadelphia 76ers.
You know, Embiid obviously is a lot to deal with, but Maxey, they have a number of guys. Harris, Lowry's played well for them. Batum, obviously, been around a long time. A lot of big shots. Heal, great shooter, score. You know, we know we got to be ready.
Harris stinks. What more do you want me to tell you?
Well, he doesn't stink. He makes a lot of money, which doesn't justify maybe the production. But once upon a time, he wasn't a bad player.
A Long Island kid, by the way. Once upon a time, he was really good. I think those days are well past him. And they were booing him at Philadelphia the other night when he took and missed a horrendous three-pointer.
Because they want you to make every single one. That's
I mean, and literally, he took the shot, and by the time he was back on defense, they were booing him. Buddy Hield gives me pause for concern.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know
why.
It's
the first time he's been in the playoffs.
I know, but there's something about, like he's an X factor for me. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I just look at Buddy Hield. It's like he's a good shooter. And, you know, I think that Maxey hopefully will be slowed by OG. And I'm not sure that Embiid is healthy. And who else can produce? And I'm not weary of Paul Reed or Cameron Payne. Like a guy like Buddy Hield worries me a little bit.
Ray, do you have that Nick Batum cut? Because you got the little French thing happening with Nick Batum. I played it yesterday. Pretty good one.
There's a Nick
talking
Batum?
About the Knicks.
Really?
Yeah.
Nick Batum on the Knicks. You know what we'll do?
They got our number this year. No, they came in twice in this place and pretty much kick our butt twice.
No, you know who that was, actually? That was Louis Domingue.
That was Louis Domingue?
That was Louis Domingue, yeah.
Spicy pork and broccoli,
that's
Louis
right.
Domingue.
Yeah, I understand why you think that would be Batum. That, in fact, was the great Louis Randolph Domingue.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Louis, hey, he got a goalie goal the other day.
Yeah, I saw that. That was quite the shot from Domingue.
I'll tell you, Louis Domingue has had a hell of a run the last couple of years.
Got the Wolfpack into the playoffs.
Yeah, he's right. Had a phenomenal run.
That Hartford organization would not even be standing if not for Louis Domingue.
Yeah, he is keeping them on his shoulders.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
How do you feel about this series? I feel very bullish. I think the Rangers are going to find their way to a 5 or 6 game series win.
I'm shocked that we're even, honestly, I'm shocked here that we're even talking about the Capitals in the playoffs. Like, if you would have told me before the season they'd be a playoff team, I said, no, it's not happening.
Well, here they are. I mean, storylines are great, too. Ovechkin, Tom Wilson, Ryan Lindgren's brother is the goaltender for Washington.
Chuck.
Like, there certainly are storylines here.
If you're going to tell me, though, that Chuck Lindgren is going to be the guy that somehow backstops the Capitals deep into the playoffs, or deep into the series even, I would be stunned. But what did I say for the Knicks? If it goes more than six, I'd be surprised. If this goes more than five, I would be surprised.
Rangers, the Rangers should have their way, and you'd hope they take control Sunday afternoon, hammer
and
them,
it's important,
set the tone.
Right?
Of course, because you know what's coming up in round two.
It's not even round two. We're talking about a team that Stanley Cup or bust potentially.
That's right.
You want to minimize the wear and tear early in the playoffs. 100%,
and your star players are not the biggest, most physical guys, right?
Correct.
So what do the Rangers have to do for you to say it was, all right, let me set the golf analogy for you. The Rangers bogeyed the postseason. What happens?
They don't make the conference finals.
Okay. What's par?
Conference finals.
What's a birdie?
Stanley Cup finals.
What's a eagle?
What do you think?
Well, I was just showing my golf knowledge.
I know. Really. You're, I mean, it's like I'm sitting here talking to Jack Nicklaus for crying out loud.
I'm like Scott Van Pelt here. No, I understand why you would feel like that.
Dave is not satisfied until all limits have been stretched. And that's what he's doing here.
What about you?
I think you know. I think you know.
I think he's talking to me, Ray.
Are you talking to me or him?
Ray's Mr. MSG. No, but I was turning it around back on Dave. Like, what do you equate as a successful postseason run?
Adequate?
Yeah. Par.
I got to make the conference finals. I have to. I mean, I got home ice. The first series you absolutely should win. The problem is, you could argue, and I think they're the favorites to win the cup, actually, that the toughest team standing in your way could be in the second round of the postseason.
Well, that's the problem. Like, even though the Rangers are the number one seed, President's Trophy and all that stuff, I think that if you ask the hockey observer, and I think we should consider ourselves that, I don't think that people are saying, hands down, the Rangers are the best team or the favorites. So that's why
they're not the favorites.
The way.
They're not.
I
believe Carolina is plus 650 to win the whole thing, and the Rangers are plus 800.
Carolina, Florida, Boston, all those teams scare the you-know-what out of you. And that's why the Rangers are far from a lock just to even get out of the Eastern Conference. That is stacked, man.
I totally agree with you.
Stacked.
I mean, round one, you need to set the tone in round one. Win that quickly. And then hopefully, and I don't know that they will, because I think Carolina's better than the Islanders, but hopefully that's a long, drawn-out physical series that takes their toll on whoever wins it, and then you can face a team that's at least a little worn down, that hasn't had a lot of rest. But again, that if it's the Islanders, it means that they've just shocked the world and beaten Carolina. And if it's Carolina, it's a team you look at, you're like, I'm terrified of this team. Because it's hard to score against them, and they're terrific at home.
1,000%. A couple of years ago, remember when the Rangers went to the conference finals, they needed seven games in round one, they needed seven games in round two, and they were tapped by the time they got to the conference finals. And that's why I said with Washington, you know what, take care of business in five games. Save yourself some energy. That's going to be critical
moving
forward.
What did they do in 94, Dan? I believe they swept the Islanders convincingly. We weren't even competitive games. And if memory serves correctly, they beat Washington in five. And then
I think you're right.
And then it got tough because they beat the Devils in overtime, double overtime, in fact, in seven, and went another seven against Vancouver. So, but you talked about 2 years ago, they won the first two series in seven games, actually took a 2-0 lead over Tampa. That's in our stupid program director, our boss, John Winthrop, sent brooms as if the Rangers were going to sweep the series and never won another game after that.
John did that?
Yeah.
I'm surprised John would do that, because I don't consider him to be a huge hockey guy.
To this day, it still annoys me. To no end, mind you.
Now, what did he do with the broom? He, like, brought brooms out?
No, in the group text, he sent broom emojis.
Oh, the broom emoji. Yeah, you can't do that.
Because if you remember, the Rangers were up two games tonight, and I think 2-0 in game three. And at that point, John was, he's taking the brooms and just shoving them all over the place.
Well, the difference is that in that situation, remember, you're talking about playing a Tampa team which had championship pedigree, which is what was dangerous about that. Like, I did the same thing sort of, not with the broom emoji, but last year, two up on the Devils in the first round. I mean, how could you not think that
You angered me last year. You said the series was over.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to hear from Raymond. Let's stick together. These idiots that start with the series is over. You've got it locked away. I don't want to hear from any of those people.
Well, the problem is you're going to hear from them. Whether you want to or not, you're going to hear from them.
Got no choice.
Now, I thought this was interesting. You're familiar with Elliot Wolf?
The Patriots now czar. Ron.
I'm sorry,
no,
Ron.
Ron Wolf. Yeah.
Right, well, that's why I said Ron. Yes, Elliot Wolf.
Scott Wolf, Party of Five?
Yeah, I don't know why I said Scott.
Scott Wolf hit on my wife years ago.
In
a very creepy manner.
Scott Wolf, I think from West Orange, New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. So tell me the story about the wife.
A diminutive fellow.
Diminutive,
by the way.
Yes. Yeah. But he's one of those guys like Ralph Macchio who, when he was 53, looks like he's about 25.
100% accurate.
Did you see that thing, by the way, that Ralph, I saw it on social media yesterday. Ralph Macchio
is
today.
Older than Mr. Miyagi or something?
Well, yeah, like that is creepy, dude.
Well, if you go to the Google and look up Ralph Macchio and look up modern day pictures. Now, is he approaching 60?
He's over 60.
He looks like you should only hope that everyone that you know looks like that when they're in their 60s.
100%.
He looks glorious. Now, 100%. Getting back to Elliot Wolf, and we so eloquently got
sidetracked. Well, no, tell me the Scott Wolf story with Sherry.
So they were at a bar, and she walked out of the bar, and he was highly inebriated, and he said, you know, I have a limousine right here. I can hop in, and we'll spend some time together.
When was this?
Oh, I mean, before I knew her. Probably, I don't know, 25 years ago?
So she has a Scott Wolf story. You had the dalliance with the optometrist?
No, she was a podiatrist.
Podiatrist, that's right. Podiatrist.
Oh, wow.
Right. Interesting.
The rabbit hole here, Dave. But Scott Wolf was once engaged to Alyssa Milano, who we've spoken about.
I'm this close to Alyssa Milano. Think about that.
We've spoken about Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano
in the past.
25 years ago versus Alyssa Milano, the yo-yo that she's become now, you're saying.
This was 30 years ago.
Think of, like, you know the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yes.
Think of 6 Degrees of Rothenberg right now. So my wife hit on my wife, a woman that I procured, and she lives with me and adores me. My wife now was hit on by Scott Wolf, who was engaged to Alyssa Milano. So basically, I'm this far from having spent time with Alyssa Milano.
Let me ask you a question. Here's a question for you. Your life depends on it, okay? Who wins a jump ball, Scott Wolf or Alyssa Milano?
Wow.
Or how about this? Scott Wolf or Sherry Rothenberg?
Let's say Scott Wolf.
But he's like
5'3". There's no way he's 5'3".
I don't know.
Your better question is who wins a jump ball, Scott Wolf or Tom Cruise?
Yeah, but Tom Cruise was... I think Tom Cruise wins that easy.
I don't know about that.
I think he's in better shape.
All right, Scott Wolf or RJ?
RJ before the 2 cups of coffee or after the 2 cups of coffee?
He can caffeinate if he'd like.
RJ, what do you think happens there?
I mean, listen, I have no special vertical. I'll be honest.
Can I play Elliot Wolf for God's sake?
I'll play
sakes,
Elliot Wolf
please.
Like anybody That'd cares what the Patriots are doing these days.
If
Go ahead.
Have to.
I think that Giants fans might be interested because Elliot Wolf, who's the Pats director of scouting, said, "We're open for business, baby.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft. We're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and strike, if the board recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either."
So he's telling you that they are absolutely open for business when it comes to trading that third pick. So if the Giants, in fact, want that quarterback, and maybe it is Drake May, and again, you don't know what happens if they actually would trade that pick to the Giants, but at least it's enticing to think there's the possibility of that happening.
I talked to a couple folks in NFL personnel circles earlier this week.
I like this.
Just doing a little due diligence, okay? As far as the quarterback crop is concerned, I heard a couple of things that just kept being thrown in my direction. When you stack the quarterback group, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels on one tier. Then the next tier are the Drake Mays, throw in J.J. McCarthy. Then there's another drop-off after that. But if you're talking about the top two prime prospects, Daniels, Caleb Williams, there are a few people that put those two on equal footing.
So what I have seen, and I hope you've seen this, on all the gambling sites, Drake May and Jaden Daniels are almost a pick'em of who's going to go two to Washington now.
That's interesting because I don't know if the evaluation is exactly the same. That's why. That's why I threw that out there for
right.
you.
But I think it's interesting that, and again, I think the apple, and again, I don't know, and he's not going to certainly tell you, I think the apple of Joe Shane's eye is Drake May or J.J. McCarthy.
Well, let me ask you a question. You are Mr. Giant.
Right.
See, Joe Shane said something interesting yesterday, and I know that we have the sound. We'll probably play the sound or whatever. But he said, we don't need to take a quarterback. And I agree with him. But remember when you're a kid, I need that. I need that. You tell your parents, I need that. I need that. And they tell you what? There's a difference between need and want.
Right.
Giants don't need to take a quarterback. But the question is, Dave, do they want to take
of
a quarterback?
Of course they want to, Dan.
Well, let me ask you.
No-brainer.
You're a fan. Do you want to use that first-round pick on a quarterback?
If the quarterback that they love is there at six, or if they have to move up to four or three to get that quarterback, yeah.
Okay.
I like Joe Shane. I like Brian Daboll. I think they're smart. I think that Dable's a really good quarterback coach. I think that he can tutor up any kid that they draft. I think if they deem this kid worthy of moving up and grabbing him, then you absolutely we should do it. 100%.
Here's the problem. And yes, you have to believe in your evaluation. We know that. But you're willing to give up assets to move up to potentially take no better than the third best quarterback on the draft in this draft. Or if things break a certain way, you could stand put at six and potentially get your hands on maybe the number one wide receiver if it falls your way.
Right. But I would ask you this. Is it more important to have a really good quarterback or an elite wide receiver?
How do you know? Well, let me ask
I don't know
you this.
I don't know anything. I can't sit here and prove anything.
No, I understand. But having a game-breaking wide receiver, which this Giants franchise has not had in eons, can also do wonders to help whatever quarterback you have back there.
Yeah, listen, if you take or you take Neighbors, you're going to make Daniel Jones or Drew Locke, whoever your quarterback is going to be, considerably better. But you still have a quarterback issue, in my opinion.
No, you still. We're in agreement. See, we're speaking the same language. Daniel Jones is not the guy long-term, right? We know that. We know that.
All right, so how am I going to remedy that then, Dan?
Well, how are you going to remedy that? I'm saying you could then take a quarterback this year, let's say, in either round two, round three, something like that, bring him along. He's not going to look, because if you draft the guy, he's not playing this year anyways for the most part.
Yeah, but if I can get him, right, if I need it, if I can get him. And we talked to Mel Kiper last week, and Rick asked the question. It was a good question. What does next year's crop of quarterbacks look like? He's like, nowhere near this year's crop.
Yeah, but see that's Fugazi, Yes, it is.
You're going to tell me because Jaden Daniels was considered nothing going into the season.
What I'm saying. Like, let the college football season play out. I mean, we've seen this many times before, and I shame on Mel for even saying that.
How dare you?
No, it's true, because there's quarterbacks that aren't even on the radar at this point that next year could go. Hey, was Baker freaking Mayfield on anybody's radar going into his last season in college when he won a Heisman freaking trophy and became the number one pick in the draft? No. And now he's made himself a nice career, by the way. Still lives in a football stadium, but that's besides the point.
I understand what you're saying, but so then what am I going to do?
Well, here's what I mean.
Then I'm going to wait another year to take the quarterback?
Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they're not going to tell anybody right now what they think the preliminary scouting is on next year's crop. But they might have a guy that they identify already and say, oh, you know what? This guy, along with maybe a couple of others, are better, we think, than what the ceiling is going to be for the crop of 24. That could be a possibility. They're not going to rush a card up to take a quarterback.
If you can get that quarterback, why would you not take him? That's my question to you. If you have an opportunity to take that quarterback, why would you not take him?
We're in agreement. But they could be blowing smoke up our you-know-whats. We know that. Nobody's going to tell you anything definitively that we like this, we like that.
Nor
should
they.
We're going to get our answers, though, next week.
They played this whole game with Kayvon Thibodeau years ago, and it's like, well, the Giants clearly have no interest in him, and then they took him with the fifth overall pick.
Hey, The guy who brought Daniel Jones in here, did you think there was a shot in you know what that the Giants were taking a quarterback sixth overall?
I think the guy that brought Daniel Jones in here was absolutely the definition of incompetence.
Wow.
So, yes, I thought that was a nothing surprised me. He moved up back into the first round to take DeAndre Baker.
How's he doing?
Great. Amazing.
Got
phenomenal.
The jersey yet or no?
Oh, just amazing. The guy's taking anything that's not nailed down. I mean, really. Honestly, it's bad enough that you... what are you laughing about? It's bad enough that you move up to take a guy that's not capable. I think he was on the team for 1 year, Dan.
Yeah.
First round pick that's on the team for 1 year.
Yeah, you don't want that, I heard.
No, you really don't. Gettleman was a buffoon is what he was.
I think he was a nice man.
He might have been a great guy. But
great
he was
guy.
Awful,
beacon in the community.
An awful GM. Awful. Terrible general manager.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
If I'm the Knicks, I am licking my chops right now because Joel Embiid is not right.
That is the X factor in this series. To what level do you get Joel Embiid?
He's not whole. He's not whole, and we have the size that can slow him, and we need to take advantage.
Good luck with a long series against the physicality the Knicks are going to bring to the table.
I would be surprised if this thing goes more than six games.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Durant, who is in the postseason. Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? 1-800-919-3776.
What's up, KD? Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
Dan Grasso in for Rick. We have one more hour to play with, and there's a lot to do. Knicks
Lots.
Start tomorrow, 5:30 here. Who's doing the pregame for that, by the way, Dan?
That would be yours truly.
Oh, yeah.
I would hope so.
Oh, that's nice.
That's the way it's written in the cards there, Bob.
That's nice. So we'll have you on the pregame, 1-800-919-3776. And then Sunday at 2:30, 3 o'clock puck drop, we're going to have the Rangers in action. And tomorrow as well, the Islanders will be in action at 5 o'clock in what is going to be a very, very tough series. So let's get back to it. The Knicks. I've said this before. I stand by it. And the reasons are the same. I think that Joel Embiid is... this is not the Joel Embiid that's MVP caliber. I don't look at the Sixers team as deep as the Knicks. I don't think overall they're as talented as the Knicks. And I think that you look at Nick Nurse and say he's a good coach, but I don't sit here and tell you he's a considerably better coach than Tom Thibodeau. I really like the Knicks to win this series, Dan.
And they should win the series.
I think that you feel the same way.
Yeah, they should win the series. Let me ask you this question, though, because we haven't even brought this up. Let's say they drop game one. Where does your level of panic get increased to?
11.
11.
Yeah, right off the bat, 11.
So basically, they lose tomorrow.
That's
everything
right.
that you're saying now, where
right
the Knicks could essentially sweep, is gone.
Well, I didn't say essentially sweep. I never
said
that.
Well, I mean,
like
you make it sound as if it's in the bag.
No, I think the Knicks are going to win this series in five, maybe six. But I don't think you'll see a game seven. But here's the thing. My rationale is I think they're better, and I think they'll come out and they'll prove a point tomorrow. If the point is right off the bat that Philly immediately takes home court away, that'd be very troubling. I would still think the Knicks win this series, but my concern level would go through the roof. I'm being honest with you.
Right, because, I mean, that's what happened last year against Miami, right? They lost game one to the Heat in the second round.
And I was at that game. Yeah, right. Through the roof.
Now, did you got a ticket for that one?
Yeah, I've got tickets and I brought Alex.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That was okay.
What?
That was okay. You got the ticket. That was green-lighted.
Last year, I got a ticket in the actual arena.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a Sunday afternoon, right? Like rainy, crummy day.
It was definitely a weekend afternoon. We went to the game, and it was, you know, you could tell right away. I felt like Spoelstra really, really out-coached Thibodeau last year. I don't think you'll see the
same. Spoelstra's a good coach.
I think Spoelstra might be the best coach.
Well, he probably is. But again, like Nick Nurse, you kind of threw some shade at him. Nick Nurse is a good coach. He's got a ring.
No, I think it wasn't meant to throw shade at him. I just think that I mean, I don't look at a big advantage coaching-wise for Philadelphia as I did last year and what happened against Miami.
No, I would agree. I would definitely agree on that one. You know, I'm thinking about something right now.
You going to say it?
No, I'm sitting there formulating it as I'm looking at the matchups in the playoffs. Well, I believe
do something to buy a little time here.
You have at least three, if I'm not mistaken, head coaches. Well, four of the eight head coaches in the postseason in the Eastern Conference have rings as championship winning head coaches.
Which is what? Nick Nurse?
Mm-hmm.
Spoelstra?
Mm-hmm.
Not Joe Mazzulla.
No.
Carlisle
and Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought of. Because you don't even, but, I mean, that was the Mavericks title, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But now, because what I was looking at, I was doing the comparison to what you have out west. Out west, you have Ty Lue, who I forgot about, with the Clippers.
Right.
And now Michael Malone with Denver. That's it. Those are the only two, because Steve Kerr is out.
How wide open is the NBA in your mind this year? Is this anybody can go to the finals, or at the end of the day, are we going to see Celtics and Nuggets?
No, it's open. It's open, and I think it's open more on the Eastern Conference than it is the West. Because I'm not necessarily a big believer, even though the West might be a little bit more top-heavy than the East is. Right? Because, look, the Knicks are the two seed, and people still, I think, around the league have an incredible amount of question about how good they really are.
Dan, in many circles, they're underdogs in the series.
Right. We've talked about this. So that's why I think out west, even though Denver, for example, is not the one seed, they're still the favorites to come out. I know a lot of people like Minnesota. Like a lot of people, because defensively, they're the best team in the NBA. Offensively, you know how dangerous they could be. I can't go all in yet on the T-Wolves. I think Denver is more the clear-cut choice to come out of the West as opposed to even Boston coming out of the East. I really believe that.
So you are not of the mindset that Boston is like the clear and prohibitive team out of the Eastern Conference.
They're beatable.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They are so good. Now, I guess...
No, they're good. They're good.
I guess the one thing you say about Boston is if the three's not falling, how good are they, right? Because their
maybe
game
I'm
is
just
predicated
not a believer.
On the three-pointer.
Maybe I'm just not a believer in those teams out west more than anything else. Maybe I'm just giving props to the Nuggets as the defending champs.
I think right now, I think you're looking at, I mean, Boston and Denver. I think those are the best two teams in the NBA.
How often does it work out that way, though? Where, like, the two teams we expect to make
wasn't
the finals.
Last,
make
I mean, you have to pull up, like, the last, you know, I mean, in the 80s it did, right?
Well, the Cleveland LeBron against the Warriors for three straight years or whatever it was, right?
Right, but that was when those teams were like head and shoulders above everybody else, right?
As long as Cleveland could find their way out of the Eastern Conference, yeah.
Like Lakers, Celtics in the 80s, those were clearly the teams, they were head and shoulders better. But, I mean, is Boston and Denver, are they head and shoulders better than the other? Like Oklahoma City, who nobody even discusses, that's a really good basketball team.
Boy, if Oklahoma City ever makes the NBA Finals, like with this group, like the youth that they have. And remember, Oklahoma City was a team that they weren't even in the playoffs last year. So to go from that to the one seed to potentially making the NBA Finals, what a freaking leap that would be.
Well, because he's amazing. Sam Presti, he's a genius is what he is.
We made fun of him for how many years, like stockpiling all those draft choices and like, what are you going to do with 17 second round picks? Well, look at what they did.
Yeah. Look at the talent. SGA was not an early, you know, first round pick, and Chet Holmgren, they walk into that and he's terrific. But I mean, Lou Dort, you go around that team.
Josh Geddy's like a triple double machine for crying out loud.
But he was
at least
a high
when he
pick,
plays
wasn't
the Knicks.
He? I think
What's
he was
that?
A high pick though. Wasn't he top five pick, Josh Geddy?
I don't remember where he was drafted.
Well, why don't you look that up for me?
And I'll do
that
for you.
We'll take a phone call or two, and you look that up, and then we'll reconvene. We'll meet back here?
You name the time and place.
All right, Carl in Queens. Good morning, Carl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Sixth overall, by the way, Bob.
There you go. I knew it was a high pick.
Dave,
go ahead, Carl.
Dave and Dan. Dan and Dave. I think the latter's better, Dan and Dave. Happy Friday, fellas. Hey,
Carl.
Ray's roast got me so worked up earlier, man. And Dave, I'm 100% with you on the series, but all I'm hearing from non-Knick media and fans is who's going to stop Embiid? And I know you don't answer a question with a question, but who's going to stop JB? And like everyone's saying, if and Dan, we spoke yesterday, if Embiid is Wednesday night's Embiid, JB is far and away the best player on the court at all times. And also, if I was Tibbs, guys, I would have all this – I would have the locker room posted up with all this garbage disrespect. Post the Vegas lines. Post – I think, Dave, you mentioned Draymond's dumb you-know-what comments.
Yeah, we'll hear from him
in
a minute.
And then put Reed's face all over the locker room. But I – I'm not going to make a prediction about the games. I think we will win the series. But just one more thing.
Yep.
Let's go Knicks and Rangers, baby. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Yeah, I feel like we're all on the same page here. People are juiced up, man. I mean,
he's
come
into
on.
It.
How
Carl's
long has it.
It
been since the Knicks and Rangers are this level of relevancy?
Do you really have to go back to – we can't go back to
– What were they – how about 2012? What were the Rangers, Ray? Do you remember in 2012?
The record?
No, not the record. Like, how good?
Well, they were good. They lost to the Devils in the conference finals.
Yeah, right. In 2012.
That was the Adam Henrique goal. Yeah.
That's right. I was there.
Sometimes. I was on vacation in the Outer Banks when that happened. I went for a walk.
The Outer Banks are nice.
I went for a walk on the beach for like 2 hours right after that goal. I left the beach house and I didn't come back for a few hours.
Did you have some of your ladies with you on that trip?
I had some alcohol with me. That's what I had. I was not in a mood to be with anybody.
Now this Draymond Green sound. What happened?
Bootlegging in the Outer Banks.
Yeah, this Draymond Green sound. He's such. I've had so enough of him. RJ, when you do observations next week, you can include Draymond Green. He's picking the Sixers. He said if it was the Heat, he would take pretty much anybody over the Knicks. Here he is.
Paul Reed said it. I ain't say it, but the reality is we know the reality. The New York Knicks are way easier to beat than the Boston Celtics. In fact, I got the Philadelphia 76ers beating the New York Knicks because who gonna stop Joel? And like Joel took over every play down the stretch versus the Miami Heat in which we know probably will beat the Knicks too, but that's neither here nor there. I got Philly for sure. Nobody's stopping Joel.
Does he watch the games? First of all, Joel Embiid took over the game down the stretch. I thought Batum by a mile was the best player and the player that led them over the finish line.
Right. He was Big Shot Bob. Nick Batum morphed into Big Shot Bob in that game the other night.
What is he talking about?
I mean, come on.
He says, I would much rather play the Knicks than the Celtics. Yeah, obviously. Of course, the Celtics won 60-some-odd games. They're the prohibitive favorite. They're the one seed for a reason. No one is saying that the Knicks are better than the Celtics. No one said that.
By the way, you mentioned somebody's name a few minutes ago. Just want to remind folks, like, Oubre, you don't worry about Oubre offensively. Oubre is going to be the guy to slow down Jalen Brunson.
He's going to be the guy that tries to slow Jalen Brunson down.
And Oubre's had a small amount of success doing that in one of those games this year. That's something I think you keep an eye on for sure.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's fine. I think that's going to be their game plan, right? Is going to be physical and throw different bodies at him. And I mean, pretty much the same way the Knicks are going to go after Embiid. I imagine the Sixers are going to go after Jalen Brunson.
Well, because Miami put the blueprint out there, at least. Remember in the Knicks Heat game, was it in early April when the Knicks went down there and they lost to the Heat, where Spoelstra basically was throwing two guys at Brunson, especially down the stretch, and he only had like 20 points that night. He struggled. They're just going to take that and go to school off of it.
That's going to be every team's recipe. But how many teams have executed that over the course of this season? It's hard. And you saw at the end of the season when teams are doubling him out high and he pulled them out and then he got the ball to the free throw line. And now, in essence, you have a 4-on-3 if you're the Knicks.
Well, that's also what makes it so much easier when you have a guy like what DiVincenzo's been this year for them, which in a million years I never would have thought was possible, that he'd evolve into this type of a role.
I don't think anybody did.
For this team. And even a guy, you know, like I'm curious too. Look, Dave, one other thing that we haven't also brought up about this series, and it's critical even in the regular season for the Knicks, the non-Brunson minutes. Start of the second quarter, start of the fourth quarter. Deuce going to be able to come in off the bench, and things, are they going to crumble to pieces or not? Those are going to be critical parts of these games.
That worries me.
But yeah, and it has to, because even when they play inferior opponents during the regular season.
When you take out Brunson. Now, I like McBride, but that's a tall order, and that worries me. But you're going to have your other starters or guys that can score on the court when Brunson need, because it's a needed rest. You can't play him 45 minutes a game.
No.
You just can't do it.
And that's why Alec Burks has been basically sent into witness protection tried to make him the guy, and things just completely fell apart when Brunson was on the bench and Burks was on the floor. And now he's basically a non-factor on this team.
He's terrible.
I'm surprised by that. I didn't think he'd be this bad.
Oh, he wasn't good his first run with the Knicks, and he's not.
No, that's not fair to say he wasn't good.
He was not good.
He did a lot. Well, the team wasn't good, number one.
The team stunk, he was whatever.
No, but he provided roles for this team. Remember, he was the starting point guard because they had nobody.
Well, he's been less than stellar in his redo with the Knicks.
He's benched.
Yeah. Let's go to Lou in Manalapan. Hi, Lou. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Dan. How's it going?
What's up, Lou?
Been a while. Sorry. I feel like I left the show high and dry. But
we were talking,
I mean,
Lou,
the Rangers and Knicks.
Lou, no joke. The other day we had like a meeting at the station. It was like, where has Lou and Manalapan been? And we were a little bit concerned. So I'm glad that you're making this call now.
Well, here's the thing. The Knicks and Rangers have been rolling all season. And, you know, I kind of believe like Eddie Mush at Aqueduct. Sometimes I might be rooting for Kryptonite. So I didn't want to ruin the juju. But it's too, you know, there's too much excitement, you know, around the city. I work across the street from MSG every day. It's buzzing. But, you know, I've been thinking, I've been reflecting on what the Knicks and Rangers have been doing. And, you know, I'm a 94 baby. I missed both opportunities to watch these teams succeed. And now that we're in the moment for this weekend, I think, you know, the underestimating of the toughness from both the Knicks and Rangers, I think that's the difference here. I think the Knicks are going to win in five. I just think that they're tougher than Philly. I think that Jalen Brunson and DiVincenzo and Hart, they're comfortable in Wells Fargo. They're ready to go. I think, and in the Rangers series, I mean, they have old man Ovechkin. Washington shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. So nonetheless, they get us. So, you know, I'm excited. I hope this is like a 94 year. It would be really nice
be
to
great.
Go into my 30s with at least one championship.
It would be so good. And Lou, thanks for the call. And don't be a stranger, please. Remember that meeting we had the other day about Lou? Like, where has Lou been?
It's pretty good that Lou was actually the subject of a meeting.
Well, he wasn't.
That means you left a mark.
Like, it wasn't like, let's meet about Lou, but the meeting was taking place, and where has Lou been? It's kind of what happened.
Well, the somebody comes up in the meeting, which is good.
Of course he does.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Mets are now, 10-8, I believe, right? They're 10-3 in their last 13 games after the just horrendous 0-5 start. At what point would you start to kind of believe in this Mets team a little bit?
Get me to June, probably.
So if I can get you to June 1 and they're 500 or better, you're going to kind of buy in a little bit?
Without any more catastrophic injuries that, like, cost you the season, yeah, I'd be in. But remember, I thought that this team could do this anyway. Now, the formula that they've used so far, I don't know if it's sustainable, because even though, like, they've gotten good starting pitching, they're not pitching deep in the games. Like, they're still, like, bottom quarter of the league, Dave, in innings from their starters.
Which is so amazing.
Because nobody
gets any length from their starters now.
No. I mean, Severino had a quality start yesterday. It was his first quality start since, like, last August or something, right?
The thing is the bullpen is good.
Well, the bullpen is good, but again, you're going to be asking the bullpen to do a lot more. You can't have them pitching all these innings. They're going to burn out.
But don't the Yankees have the same exact issue? Like,
yeah,
the Yankees get very little length from their starters.
Here's the difference, though. The Yankees' offense can help, you know, muscle them out of whatever type of deficits. The Mets can't. The Mets only score runs basically from the seventh inning on, which has to improve as well.
Well, a couple things on that. A, you have to score in the first six innings. B, you got to have Lindor, Nimmo, McNeil start to produce a little bit. And C, you can't fall behind in every single game. I mean, that's fall behind in every game they play.
When is J.D. Martinez step into a batter's box for the first time?
I hope it's soon. I mean, I hope by the end of the month.
May 15th, before or after?
Oh, if he's not here by May 15th, I mean, you talk about May 15th. Now the question would be, who's going to be back for Senga or J.D. Martinez?
Well, Senga, there's no way anything before June 1st. I'd be shocked.
Right, but now if you're May 15th, if J.D. is not back before that, and we talk about, I think Senga's eligible May 27th, right?
Well,
I
mean, Senga, remember,
2 weeks is separating those two things.
The thing with Senga, too, is, remember, he hasn't even thrown off of a mound yet. And once he finally throws off a mound, it's 6 weeks after that for him to build up again.
Yeah. Well, all right, here's a question for you. Who do we see first, Gerrit Cole or Kodai Senga?
I don't feel great about either, to be quite honest with you. Cole.
When you say you don't feel great that they'll return at all?
I don't think, no. Here's the thing. I don't think that it's going to be sustainable. Like, this Cole thing, everybody's painting this rosy picture that Cole doesn't need the surgery. How do you know that something isn't going to go wrong then when he does try to come back moving forward?
In fact, it was Sound for Buster only a couple weeks ago where he said every expert he's spoken to says it's only a matter of time until he actually does need the surgery.
Exactly. You know, I'm a baseball fan. I observe the league, and I have for a number of years. Like, this, it's not going to have a happy ending. So set the date, set the year. Something is going to have to go wrong here. I don't want to be the Grim Reaper, but that's just the way it is.
It's now time for Raymond's Elite. Are you ready for this, Dan? For you to be here, I would think it's a treat for you, right?
It's the thrill of a lifetime, at least of the week.
I think so. And it's Raymond's Plays of the Week.
Are the Plays of the Week.
You week win two, and they're 0-2.
Week win two.
Rick, are you ready for Plays of the Week?
Yeah.
You know what else he was ready for? Getting George Clooney'd on his own by a supposed Mrs. J, who wrote Dave an email. And she used context clues to put together that she may have had relations with Rick back in the college days.
Yeah.
She's happily married.
She even identified a mole on the thigh to prove that she's been with him.
Which Rick denies exists, by the way.
So there's no mole on the thigh.
Well, who can tell? He's got a lot of tattoos.
We have emails. We have callers. Sometimes callers go off on people.
The out of shape, overweight, unathletic schlub Dave Rothenberg and his cohort, Rick. I would love to bet everything I have on you and Armani.
That's for the big pickleball matchup.
Right. And that's where we call him Armani, from the genius that is that guy.
That's right.
Can the Jets benefit because somebody wants to move up and take either Penix or who's the other guy?
Bo Nix.
Or Bo Nix.
Dave
is
so anti-Bo Nix, he pretends to forget the guy's name.
I didn't pretend. I had a moment. My God.
You didn't like Rick singing to you, sing-songy.
You tell me every day how much you trust Joe Shane and Brian Dable.
You know what? First of all, don't talk to me like that. If they deem that Nix is the answer, then I'll go along with it.
You'll go along with it.
Stop singing.
This all dates back to
Corey Davis. Corey Davis.
I'm taking the Panthers
big contract of Corey Davis.
I had some
Corey Davis hasn't signed anywhere yet, right?
Nope, not yet.
No. Still
not yet.
Out there.
I had some thoughts about Cleveland and really the state of Ohio.
They live in Ohio. I'd be miserable too.
Oh wow. Oh.
This is all Monday, by the way. All of this is Monday.
He took a shot at a full state.
I think that's how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it's actually called.
But what is that called? We don't know what that's called.
I'm not a linguistic expert. I don't know.
Rangers clinched the President's Trophy, which led to this.
All right, let's list some of these names. Thomas Jefferson. James Monroe. Stop me when you see the theme. John Quincy Adams. John Tyler.
This went on for a long time. Exactly. Yeah. This went on for a long time. Damn.
I loved it. I'll do it again.
I'm sure you will.
Some people like their own natural kind of odor.
Some people do, like Trent Baalke. But
on an average 7-day week, how many showers?
I'm looking at least 3 showers a day.
Really?
Sometimes 4.
What?
Rick does not like his own odor. That's why he showers 3-4 times a day. Things are going well for the Mets right now.
Reed Garrett sounds like a youth pop star, like a 16-year-old singing star from Northern New York or something.
From Northern New York,
like the Buffalo area.
Great play was made in the Yankee game as well.
What Fletcher, is that his name?
No, Schneider was the first one, and then Varsho was the second one.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
No. Was there a Fletcher that played that was a scrappy player last night, or am I mistaken by that?
Those weren't the ones that made the play in left field.
All right.
Not Fletcher.
I thought there was Clement, that's what I'm thinking of.
Ah.
That was not who made the play.
The third baseman, right.
This continues.
Those are great plays in left field.
Close. I mean, Clement Fletcher, close.
Well, you know what? It was the same similar amount of letters.
Are you okay?
Are you all right?
Me?
Yeah, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Why?
All right, just making sure.
You make it sound like this is abnormal. This is exactly who I am. I mean, Clement is not a is not an everyday name. It's French origins, Clement.
But you know what? Dave redeemed himself in Stump Rothenberg.
Steve Breston?
Yep.
Fitzgerald, yep. Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston.
Yep.
Nice. That's why I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
That's right. He's also a great coach.
Can you say bosom?
Bosom.
Say it again.
Bosom.
Say it like you mean it.
Bosom. Herb Brooks. Again. Also helps us in our acting chops.
That's what I do. I drink and I know things.
I think RJ's got a future.
I think so. I would cast him. I'll tell you that.
If you tuned in for the big Thursday open, it didn't exist because Rick couldn't get the gate open. I don't know why you have a problem with that song.
So that's why there was a West Coast Open. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Why. Interesting.
Nah, you're putting it all together.
Nobody told me that. Okay.
As we've mentioned, Dave has been training for the pickleball, and sometimes that leaves him to chastise people who also try to get in some pickleball.
I went into a moment where I lost my, you name it, I lost it.
Okay, and what did you say to him?
Can you move your fat ass up to the net, please? Sorry.
Yeah, don't say sorry to me. Say sorry,
to him.
Pickleballer.
I apologize.
You shouldn't apologize to the Mets mascot.
I mean, I think he's considered now the Mets pimp. That's what they call him.
Not talking about Mr. Met. Just want to be very clear here.
No, there's a pimp that goes to the games and sits there, and he's now considered the Mets pimp.
That's a thing that happened.
Ray, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Not really. No, not really.
You know, I'm thinking about something right now.
You going to say it?
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. The greatest steamroller in the history of this program. Yep.
George, he's in a truck, and now he's
like,
on
I wouldn't bring the iPad
ESPN.
In the bathroom. If you got to go to the bathroom,
love,
like then you maybe bring the phone.
Eating off to hear the melange.
That is an all-timer, and what a way to end the week. Thank you, boys.
Yeah, that really, honestly, you should open a construction company with the steamroller you just did there. That was unbelievable. And he just starts out with his call. He's happened to be leading off the melange. All right, everybody. Big sports weekend. Enjoy it. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champ. It's Grasso, Rothenberg, and
Carpe Omnia, Knicks and Rangers. Carpe Omnia.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.